I'm going to speak to you on the subject, your son, your only son. Genesis 22, the Hebrew is Bereshit, the first book of Scripture. Genesis 22 is perhaps the strangest chapter in all of Tanakh, in all of the Old Testament. I really admire Abraham. He listened to God even though he was put through some really big tests. But he was concerned that here God had called him to be the beginning of a nation. When the Jews pray in the synagogue, they pray, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were the patriarchs, the beginning of Israel. And Abraham was worried because here he and his wife Sarah were really growing old, and they didn't have any child of their own. And God came to him about a year before he was to have Yitzchak, Isaac, and he assured them that this time next year they would have a son. Because Sarah laughed, this child became Isaac. In Hebrew, Yitzchak means laughter. God said, you laughed at that. What are you doing? She says, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. You're going to argue with God? You're going to tell him he doesn't know what he's saying? So he said, this time next year, you're going to have Isaac. And I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, those wicked cities. And Abraham pleads with him for if they're finally gets to the place where he says, well, even if you find only 10 righteous, and God says, okay, if I find 10 righteous, I won't destroy it. But here, they're waiting all these years for this child. You know, if you realize what people go through and bringing forth a child, and to think this potential mother was in her 90s. It seems so ridiculous. And how old would he be when this child comes in? 100. A century old. I said, even now, if Gracie told me we were expecting, they'd have to put me in a convalescent home. And here he was 100. And so God does the strangest thing. He tells Abraham, now take this child. Of course, by this time he's already easily in his teens. And go and sacrifice him on the hill that I tell you. And this is unbelievable. What would this possibly mean? You've waited all this time. It's a miracle that this woman has this child when she's in her 90s, and the father is 100. Now sacrifice him. That's unreal, isn't it? So, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, Hineni, he says, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Yitzchak, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him his son, two of his servants, and when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, that's interesting, because you know in the gospel how important the third day is. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then listen to this, we will come back to you." Now, what does that say? We will worship, and we will come back to you, I and the boy. And, you know, you can't fully understand this until you read what the New Testament says about it. Because the rabbis arrived at the conclusion that God was telling him not to offer human sacrifice. And they call this not the sacrifice, but the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. They say he wasn't sacrificed. But right in the beginning, God said, sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Tell me that's not sacrifice. So, just as he's going to take the knife and kill this boy, the Lord stops him. And the Lord commends him twice that he was willing to offer his son, his only son. Now, listen, if God was trying to say, don't offer human sacrifice, he never mentions that. That would be a strange way to say it and then commend him twice, would it not? So it meant something beyond that. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares Adonai the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. That was the promise in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 12, when God gave him the Abrahamic covenant, that all nations would be blessed because Abraham is listening to God and doing what God tells him. And that was the covenant. And by the way, let me tell you, the Abrahamic covenant is still intact. And the promise is concerning Abraham and Israel, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and in you all nations of the earth will be blessed. How will that happen? Listen, any of us who have lived through the Second World War watch Hitler on his tirades and know about the factories that were set up to kill all those Jews and how God got rid of the Third Reich. And that's going to be the cost of all of those who turn against Israel and try to destroy God's people. And one day God is going to call his people back to the Messiah. And Paul writes, and so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the Redeemer shall come to Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And so the New Testament comments on this in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. The writer of Hebrews views God's testing of Abraham as a prophecy of Messiah. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And Yeshua said, talking to his own Jewish people, he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." When did he see Yeshua's day? When Isaac was there as the only son being offered in sacrifice, God was saying, "Messiah, the only son, is coming. And he will be sacrificed for our atonement. We're going to have Yom Kippur." This is all leading up to Yom Kippur. It starts now. And then there's the 10 awesome days of repentance. And here's the thing about Yom Kippur. God states in the Torah, the Leviticus 17, verse 11, "The life of the flesh is in Hadam. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul." It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. The one thing that's missing from Yom Kippur is the atonement. When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, sacrifice ceased, but sacrifice had already been offered 40 years prior to that, the Bible's testing period, when Yeshua was sacrificed as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When Yochanan, the prophet, pointed to him, to Yeshua, as he came on the scene, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, not just of Israel, of the world." In John chapter 3, probably the most quoted part of the New Testament, this rabbi who is on the Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin, comes to Yeshua at night and says, "We know, I and other rabbis," see, not all the rabbis rejected, "we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God is with him." And instead of bowing and saying, "Tell me more," Yeshua said, "Truthfully, I say to you, you must be born again," meaning from above. "Except a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's why Yeshua said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The only Son of the Father was coming to give his life for each one of us. And the only true blood atonement now for Israel and the world is Messiah Yeshua's blood atonement offered on the cross. The world would be blessed. not Israel only, through Messiah's atoning sacrifice. When challenged about his statement about Abraham rejoicing at the thought of seeing Yeshua's day, Yeshua replied by confessing his being eternal and applying the name of God. Eye, he said, I am, to himself. Before Abraham was, he didn't say I was. He said, Eye, I am. When Moses was going back to deliver Israel from Egypt's hand, this is the coming of the Passover, he says to God, whom shall I say sent me? And he says the Hebrew, Eye, I am. Tell them I am sent you. That's the name of God. I am. It's the verb to be. Now, why would he have to say that? They had been in slavery over 400 years. If you were born in slavery and you died in slavery, wouldn't you sort of wonder, is God really there? Tell them I really am. And that's what he wants to tell each of us. I really am. Yeah, I am. When Philip said to him in John chapter 14, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. He said, Philip, have I been such a long time with you, and you don't know who I am? Listen to this. He who has seen me has seen the Father, Adonai. He had said earlier, I and the Father are Echad. I call that the second Shema. The first Shema was Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That's the Torah. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The second Shema was in John 10 when Jesus is telling them, they ask, his own Jewish people ask him if he is the Messiah. And he ends up by saying, I and the Father are Echad. That's the second Shema. Hear, O Israel, Yeshua and Adonai are Echad. He who has seen Yeshua has seen Adonai. Adonai came to earth to offer himself as a sacrifice and make atonement for Israel and the world. So Rabbi Shaul, Paul, who knew Scripture very well, didn't he? He states what this is all about. And he wrote that Tanakh announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. Listen to this. The gospel is the good news of Messiah coming as the atoning sacrifice, not just for our sins, Israel, but for the world. Consider Abraham, he says. This is Galatians 3, 6 through 9. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. When Gentiles believe, they're children of faith. They're into God's family. And we who believe, we represent, Jew and Gentile, one new man. That's what we're called. The body of Yeshua is one new man made up of Jews and Gentiles. Let me tell you, nobody's better than anybody else. in this body. Jews aren't above Gentiles. We're all one in the Lord. And the Lord does not choose on the basis of whether you're Jewish or Gentile. He reads our heart, and He wants people who are totally dedicated to Him. That's how He chooses. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify or declare righteous the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. Quote, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. When you ask Yeshua to come into your heart, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, you become a child of faith, walking with the living God. When you're immersed, you die with Yeshua to this life, and you're raised to a new life. You receive the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Spirit, in your heart, and He sees you as a member of His body. One new man. So, we're also told in Zechariah that there's going to come a time at the end of the age when this is going to happen. I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends surrounding people reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse, he means weapon of war, with panic. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot and a wood pile, like a flaming torch among the sheaves. They will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced. Isn't that strange? God is talking. God is talking to Israel. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. That makes me so happy that our people that we try to give the good news about Messiah to, and they find it so hard to absorb, they will look up unto the Lord whom they've pierced and mourn for him. This is Tanakh. This is not the New Testament I'm quoting. This is in Zechariah, who is one of the last prophets to speak in the Old Testament. And he is commenting on what Paul said, and so all Israel will be saved. They shall look up unto me whom they've pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. What they don't see now, they will see then. So God is doing a mighty work among Jews and Gentiles. And he's calling Jews and Gentiles to himself in this new man, the body of Yeshua, one new man. And together we are to be the light to Jews and Gentiles, to all the world. He said, Ani or ha'olam, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You are the light of the world. Believers, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and not pat you on the back and say all sorts of wonderful things. Glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about us. It's about Him. I'm just thrilled at what God's going to do, because irrespective of the trial that awaits us, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit, is with us, and I want to stand before Him and the rest of you too and hear His well done. Because listen, eternity is a long time, and it's going to be, men are going to leave all of their honors here. You know, no matter how high their honors were, they will be left here. But then we face the Lord for eternity, and I would like to live with Him in eternity, knowing that I did what He wanted here. And I want the same for you, that He would say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in these few things. I will make you Lord of many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what we want.